Every one of us ought to be thankful tonight. Amen. I'm going to go a little different direction than I thought I was tonight. I've been doing a little study on the Holy Spirit of God, and I started last Wednesday night, and I talked about how we ought to approach and how the Holy Spirit ought to work in our lives. And we talked about seven things last Wednesday night that we need to do in the Spirit. You can turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter number 11. Isaiah chapter number 11. Is it warm in here? Yes, that's what I thought. Brother Warren, could you adjust that, please, sir, if you don't mind? As you turn into Isaiah chapter number 11, read some scripture talking about the Lord. I'm afraid a lot of times the Holy Spirit gets blamed for something He had nothing to do with. A lot of times people say, I feel led to do this, or I felt led to do that. A lot of times that ain't the Holy Spirit, amen? Let me tell you some things. I won't get too much into this because I want to get to the scriptures, but the Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. Amen. Do you understand that? The Holy Spirit will never lead you into sin. Amen. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into hurting someone. Amen. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will never lead you away from Jesus Christ. In other words, if you notice a lot of these, especially on the television with the TV crowd, they worship the Holy Spirit. That's all they talk about is the Holy Spirit. All the Holy Spirit talks about is Jesus Christ. Amen. So there are several things, we may get into that a little bit later, that the Holy Spirit won't do. But tonight, last week, we said we ought to live in the Spirit. Amen. We ought to live in the Spirit. We ought to walk in the Spirit. We ought to pray in the Spirit. We ought to worship in the Spirit. The Bible said God's a Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. We said we ought to love in the Spirit. We ought to produce fruit in the Spirit. And one of these days, thank God, we'll be raised from the dead by the Spirit. Amen? And we'll be twice raised. If you're saved, you already were raised one time. At Isaiah chapter number 11, I want you to look with me. And we'll just read verse number 1 and maybe verse number 2. The Bible said, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stream of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now watch this. And the Spirit, who is it? Of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit and the fear of the Lord. Now tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to talk to you. I guess the subject would be, or the title would be, Who is the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Ghost? Quite simply, we say, well, He's a third person of the Godhead. It's okay to call Him that, I guess, but I don't believe it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I believe it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They are three, but they're equal. Amen. We have a lot of people in society today, they don't believe in a triune God. In other words, God's not three individual persons. Amen. But He is. He is three, but He is one. Amen. Several places in the Bible, we have them all three showing up at one time. My favorite example is at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got God the Son in the water being baptized by John. You've got the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And then you've got the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You say, explain that. Can't hardly do it. I don't have to explain it. I don't know what makes a 747 get off the ground, but I ride on them anyway. Yeah. Amen. I ain't 100% sure know what makes that Toyota go up and down the road. I know it costs $3 and something a gallon, but I'm not sure how all that works, but it don't stop me from driving it. Amen. Amen. I'm not sure how this thing with the Trinity works, but it don't stop me from believing it and letting it affect my life. I want you to take your Bible and go to Romans chapter number 8. Keep them in your laps tonight. We're going to do a little bit like we did last Wednesday night and look at some scriptures. I want to show you who the Holy Spirit is. Now, if you're not careful, y'all pray for my throat. If you're not careful, you'll let this crowd fool you into thinking He's some spooky thing. He's some mystical character who shows up and people do things that aren't normal. Like laying in the floor and convulsing like you're having a seizure. It's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Matter of fact, in the Bible, when people fell out, they fell on their face. They didn't fall on their back. Amen. They fell on their face, and they fell on their face in reverence. It wasn't a freaky, the Bible said God's not the author of confusion. What glory does God get out of somebody acting foolish, wallering around on the ground? Amen. I'm not kicking that crowd. I'm just saying that's not who the Holy Ghost is. Yes. Amen. And I don't want to be mean-spirited tonight, but I want you to understand who he is and who he is not. In Romans chapter number 8, I want you to look with me at verse number 2. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 2. The Bible said, for the law of the Spirit of what? Life. Of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and of death. Now, first of all, and I don't say who he is. He is the Spirit of life. Amen. He is the Spirit of life. I was listening to the radio a little bit today and had to run to town to make some little errands and had the 95.5 on the talk radio and they were saying something about Islam, and I got thinking about the great differences between Islam and Christianity. And I thought, man, how different their God, their concept of God is than what God really is. Amen. Listen, they say infidels must die. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm talking about two different spirits here. Amen. Amen. There were several more that I thought of, but I just want to say that he is the Spirit of life. In John chapter number 6 and verse number 63, the Bible said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now listen, I don't want to get too deep tonight, but you can compare that verse, John chapter 6 and 63, with Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, and you hath he quickened. He said it's the Spirit that quickeneth. What does that word quickeneth mean? It means to make alive. It means to make alive. In other words, if I were in the medical field, a nurse or a doctor, and they had somebody in the OR and they flatlined, they you know what I'm saying? Their heart stopped beating. We'd get those paddles and whop them back to life. Amen. That's something, a powerful thing that entered their body that caused their body and their to live and their heart to beat again. Yes. Yeah. When I place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary, at that instant, Brother Charles, the Holy Spirit zapped me back to life. Amen. He quickened me. Hey, it is a powerful thing. Let me say, outside the Spirit of God, there is no salvation. Outside the Spirit of God. Why? He said, because he is the Spirit of life. Amen. He is the Spirit of life. Outside of him, listen, everybody accuses us of being hate mongers and narrow-minded. I plead guilty to the second one. I'm about as narrow as this book right here. Amen. Amen. You say, well, everybody believes different. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't change truth one iota. Amen. You're not riding the bicycle to heaven. That's only in the movies. E.T., you know, left here on a bike. That ain't real life, friend. Amen. Hey, I know the Mormons are sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. You don't receive the Spirit of God by working. You receive the Spirit of God by accepting. Amen. If I give Brother Freddie a gift, I had some deer meat I was going to bring him tonight, and I forgot it. And if I brought him that deer meat and said, hey, brother, I wanted to give y'all some deer meat. They love it. I was going to bring them several pounds of the ground stuff and give it to them. And if he said, thank you, brother, and he started to walk off, I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute, that'd be $20. It's no longer a gift, is it? It's no longer a gift. If when our grandchildren, our children, they'll come over to the house, and the children are worse than the grandchildren. Levi will be over there shaking boxes for 3 weeks before Christmas time and wanting to know what's in his box. And I already know, Jack. Amen. But he'll want to know what's in his box. And it'd be funny if we handed out the presents and we all take turns opening our gifts so we can see each other open the gift. And when we got to the first child, say we got to Ashley, she's the oldest. And Ashley said, okay, is it my turn? I said, yeah, it's your turn. But wait a minute, that's your gift. But that'll be $175. That's a dirty, rotten trick, isn't it? Amen. Then it's no longer a gift. If I've got to work for my gift, it's not a gift, it's earned. Amen. You see, that's paying for something twice. Amen. That's paying for something twice. Why? Because the gift has already been paid for. The gift has already been paid for. It's been paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Hey, if that wasn't enough to finish it, why'd he die? He said, Father, I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You could translate that like this, and I'm not correcting the Bible, don't you get me wrong, but you could say, it's paid in full. I've done it. I'm done, he said. I've finished the work. Amen. Now we work, but we work because we love Him. We work because we are saved and because we are going to heaven. I want you to note that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. Amen. His main function in society, in this world today, is to point sinners to Christ. Amen. He is the Spirit of life. Romans chapter number 8, you still there? Look at verse number 15. Verse number 15. He said, "For ye have not received the what? The spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." I said, first of all, I'm talking about who He is now. He's who? The first one, what is He? The Spirit of life. Number two, He is the Spirit of sonship. He is the Spirit of sonship. He said, "You have received the Spirit of adoption." I'm glad I received the Spirit of adoption. In other words, Jesus put something inside me that made me acceptable unto God. And you know what that thing was? That thing was God's own Spirit indwelling inside me.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not just a child of God. I'm a son. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We've received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know the old story, how I went with the lady from our church to court her. She had a sister that lived wicked and bad, and I think she wound up in jail, if I remember right, Brother Charles, and she went to adopt her little niece. And we went to that courtroom, and there was that mom, and there was Miss Cindy sitting there, and that judge who had the authority, that judge who had the power with the gavel in his hand, declared and made a decision and said, "She is no longer your daughter. She never will even have your daughter's last name. She belongs to this family, and she'll bear their last name." You know what that was? That was a spirit of adoption in that court. It was a ruling by that judge that no man could overturned. I'm glad when I received the Spirit of adoption and I became a son of God. Hey, brother, that was in a court of law higher than any court that ever has been, ever will be. The judge made the decision, and thank God, it cannot be overturned.
Amen.
Amen. My son's not a son one day and an outcast the next. He's my son no matter what. Amen. I love that song. Both of those were beautiful, by the way. That first song they sung, what was it? "He Loved Me Still."
Yeah.
He loved me still. Why? I'm a son.
Yeah.
I'm a son. I don't believe there's a parent in here who has had any kind of a wayward child that you could say, "I hate my child." There's no way. There's no way. If that's so, then they're not really yours.
Right.
Amen. Remember the two women in the Bible claiming they both had the kid? And they carried him toward the judge, and the judge was wise, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Judge said, "I'll tell you what we'll do. Bring me a sword. We'll cut the little fella in half. You can have one half, and you can have the other." The real mama said, "Uh-uh, let her have him."
Yeah.
Why? I showed the one who loved him. Amen?
Yeah.
Thank God I am a son no matter what. Amen.
Amen.
He's the Spirit of sonship. In Romans chapter, well, back up and look at verse number 14. Verse number 14. He said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." How about that? Let's see. Let's look at verse number 9. All this in chapter number 8. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." We are God's by what is in us.
Amen.
Amen. Now the blood that covers our sins, hey, that's been done. Amen. That blood was applied to my sin 2,000 years ago. Are we okay there? It's not something that happened on New Year's Eve 26 years ago. It was already done. But when I accepted that sacrifice for my sin, then the Holy Spirit moved in and sealed the deal. Amen. The contract was done. My end just hadn't been signed yet. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. He is the Spirit of sonship. He's the Spirit of life. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Am I going too fast? I've got a lot to spit out here, and I want to get it to you, and I don't want to keep you half a night. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 13. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 13. I love this verse right here. Next time somebody tells you, write this down and underscore it, highlight it in your Bible. Next time somebody tells you you can lose your salvation, drag them right here.
Amen.
It's irrefutable. Look at Ephesians 1 and verse number 13. The Bible said, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were, say the word with me, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I said He is the Spirit of life, He is the Spirit of sonship, but He is also the Spirit of promise. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, the Lord said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Amen. I'm glad my salvation came with a guarantee.
Amen.
I got a little ahead of myself on the sonship thing a while ago, but it all ties right there together. He is the Spirit of life. He's the Spirit of sonship, but He is the Spirit of promise. It is Him. We are sealed by the Spirit. Amen? We are sealed by... I'm not keeping my salvation. The Spirit of God is keeping my salvation. Amen? Listen, if I base my salvation on how I act or how I think, I'm lost a good bit of the time. Okay, to be that honest? How about you guys? If I base my salvation on what's going through my mind, especially driving around, amen. I had to go to Piedmont to see my aunt the other day. I despise Atlanta. I travel all over the country. I've been in nearly every major city. They ain't none worse, I'm here to tell you. It is pitiful, pitiful. And by the time I got to that hospital, I'd have had to get out of that car and that parking deck and get saved before I walked in that place. You said, preacher, what'd you do? I didn't do nothing. I thought plenty. Come on, y'all okay? Thank God for the Spirit of promise. Amen. Amen. You better thank God for the Spirit of promise too. Amen. If you can do something to cause Him to leave you, what would it be? If you could do something to cause God to revoke your salvation or revoke His Spirit, what would it be? Would it be adultery? Jesus said, a man looketh on a woman to lust, committeth adultery already in his heart.
Amen.
That thing doubles up in the New Testament, man. It don't get easier, it gets tougher, man. Y'all listening? Amen. We'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you know what? I went to bed last night saved, secure, sealed. One of my favorite illustrations on this verse of Scripture right here is my grandmother making jelly. My little granny made muscadine jelly every year. I wasn't a mama's boy. I was outdoors fishing, hunting, building tree huts. But, buddy, when it was jelly making time or fried apple pie making time, I'm in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody help me right there, amen? I'm in the kitchen. I'm helping granny today. Y'all holler, hey, buddy, we making jelly, amen? But I'll never forget, she'd always take one of those jars, Brother Charles. She'd put them lids on there, that hot jelly out of that pot in that thing, set it on the kitchen table. All of a sudden, it'd sound like guns going off. That's them lids that sucking down, sealing.
Yeah.
I remember Granny putting that jar of muscadine jelly in my hand. She said, baby, you take that home, and it don't no matter how long you wait. Longer you wait, matter of fact, she said, just the sweeter it's going to get. Amen. Amen. Yeah. She said, that'll be good. You put that in the cabinet. Years from now, you can open that up because of this seal right here. I was asking her what all that popping was, and she's told me it was sealing. That's why they call them preserves. Amen. You ever look on the jar in the grocery store, it says strawberry preserves? What's that mean? It means it's been preserved till it's ready to be opened. Amen. And I'm preserved till Jesus rips a lid off of this thing and calls me home. Why? I'm sealed by the Spirit of the living God. Amen. He is the Spirit of life. He is the Spirit of sonship. He is the Spirit of promise. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I can quote this and you can turn to it. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7. One of my first messages I preached as a young preacher 20-something years ago was from 2 Timothy chapter number 1. For God, in verse number 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
But of fear. He hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of, say it with me, power and of love. I like this last one. This would fit our society. Our society needs to get hold of this. And of a what? A sound mind. We got so many mixed up people in the head, it's more than you can shake a stick at.
Amen.
I believe this ain't got nothing to do with the message right here, but I believe it's with all the opposite spirits we're facing. I believe people are being tormented today just like they were in Bible times.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Devil will mess your mind up.
Yeah,
if he's going to attack you, he's not going to attack your hand.
Come on,
amen. Amen. He's going to get you thinking somebody don't like you. Where's he going? He's going to get you thinking. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I said he's the spirit of life. He's the spirit of sonship, spirit of promise. Listen, he's the spirit of power. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus said to his disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth." Amen? He is the spirit of, hey, we sing there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Well, listen, there's power in the Spirit of God. Listen, we need Holy Spirit power when we preach. Amen. You know what? I believe this is coming out real easy tonight. I'm not making much effort. You know why? He likes this.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
Amen. He likes this. Amen. He's getting the attention tonight. Not the preacher, not the church, not the singer. He's getting the attention tonight.
Yeah.
He is the spirit of power. If we've got a powerful service, it's because he's here.
Yeah.
If your Sunday school, I like powerful Sunday school.
Amen.
Who was it just had one saved in class? Brother Jerry? A week ago or so, in class. Brother Danny's had them saved in class. And just about every teacher we've got has had people saved in their classroom. You know what that is? It is the power of God. You say, prove that. Romans chapter number 1. Is it verse number 16? Where Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation." You know what that is? That is the power of the Spirit of God. The power of the Holy Ghost. We need Holy Ghost power. If anything's going to change America, it's not going to be a good government plan.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, brother, if that's all we're depending on, we're in a mess.
Yeah. Amen.
I ain't met one of them kooks yet that's got a good idea.
Yeah.
Amen. Maybe burn it to the ground, start over. I don't know. Amen. I mean, it is a mess. And everybody's thinking, "Oh, Lord, oh, please pray, 2012. Something's got to happen in 2012. No, something needs to happen right now.
Yeah.
Before something happens in the White House, something ought to happen in the church house, and the people of God get in the Spirit of God and start walking in the power of God. Amen. And we will make a difference in this society.
Amen.
Our founding forefathers, our little Continental Army,
Amen. Faced
the mighty British.
Yes.
Outnumbered, outtrained, outgunned.
Yep.
The odds were very slim. Actually, none. And we put the hurt on them. How'd we do that? How'd we do that? You cannot tell me that was military might. You can't tell me it was solely George Washington's brains. Was he a great general? Sure he was. That didn't win our independence. It was the power they were fighting in. Amen. I believe the hand of God is on that thing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. If God didn't birth this nation, I ain't standing here.
Yeah,
and if this nation's got any hope, it better be getting back to the power that got us here. Not who's sitting in power, but who is truly in power, whether they acknowledge him or not. Amen.
Amen.
He is the spirit of power. Hey, what does the spirit of power, what's he have power to do? What's he have power to do? Anything he wants.
Amen.
Can he heal cancer?
Yeah.
Preacher can't. I can bop you on the head, but all you're going to get is a bop on the head.
Amen.
Amen. We're not in apostolic days anymore, friend. We're in the church age. Y'all okay? I said he's got power to heal cancer. He's got power to mend marriages. Seen him do it over and over and over. Have folks here tonight. Wouldn't embarrass them. Have folks here tonight. Came in this church on the verge of divorce. And God said, "I can handle that. I can handle that." I don't know how many times I've come in my office and said, "We don't know what else to do." Maybe that's where you need to be. Well, we've tried everything we know. Okay. Give God a shot at it. Amen. He's got the power. No situation is beyond hope with him. Why? Because he's powerful. Matter of fact, he's all powerful. He possesses all power. What's that word, Brother Charles? Omniscient, is that it? omniscient. I ain't real good on them big words. Omniscient. That's one of them $4 words. Amen. Omniscient. I was trying to remember which one. Omnipotent. I know I got it straight in my head now. But he's all powerful. Amen. There is no power beside him. There's none over him. Amen. It's all under him. I'm just trying to let you know who the Holy Spirit is. You know what a powerful thing it is? I mean, we in the flesh, we tend to focus on the fleshly things God does, like healing cancer, fixing relationships. But what about when he saved you? That's the most powerful transformation of all. The moment you changed directions from headed straight to hell to going straight to heaven, man, that was powerful right there. And it happened so fast. It happened so fast, the only reason you knew it happened because you could feel it in your heart. It wasn't a process. It was bam. That's kind of like when Jesus got up from the dead. I don't think he got up slowly. I think he is just gone. Amen. I think he is just gone. I don't think he even stretched or yawned. I believe he's just gone. Amen. Power of God. He's the Spirit of power. I said he's the Spirit of life, Spirit of sonship, the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of power. Look at John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. You got time for a couple more? John chapter number 14. John chapter 14, verse number 17. It'd help if I'd just keep these things on, wouldn't it? Look at verse number 16. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Anybody know? Tell me right quick who he's talking about. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That he may abide with you forever. Now he's going to explain who he is. Even the Spirit of what? Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I like that, don't you? Not only is the Spirit of life, sonship, promise, power, but he's the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Outside him, there is no truth. Amen. He is truth. Jesus said his word was truth. Amen. How can I have confidence that this is the word of God? Because I've got confidence that he is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. The what? The truth. The life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. You know, I've met up with some pretty sharp fellas. Pretty sharp fellas. I remember a fella came to our church one time. When he came, he loved God, wasn't no doubt about it. But he didn't believe his Bible was perfect. They didn't believe his Bible was perfect. They invited us to their house for supper. We went into his study. This is an educated man. I'm talking about a lawyer. Got way more letters in front of his name than I do mine. Or after, whichever way it goes. He's going to convince me. He didn't have no luck. The old country boy had more luck with him than he had with me. Old Brother Tom's dead now. He sure enough got it settled now. Amen. I'm not making light of his death, but he sure enough knows it now. Amen. But here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said, never saw it like that. I said, because you've always had somebody trying to point out to you what was wrong, not what was right. Amen. He's the Spirit of truth. How do I know that? I don't have to be taught it, Brother Freddy. Y'all okay? I don't have to be taught it. There's something about that book bears witness with what's inside here. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny you couldn't understand a lick of that Bible till you got saved? You ever thought about that? I went to Christian school. I was lost as a ball in high weeds. We had to memorize scripture every day. I mean chapters. I mean, brother, you did that Bible work or you was in trouble. I had a whole lot of that Bible in me. I didn't have a clue about it. And man, I got saved and I started reading that Bible. I was like, wow. Didn't know that was in there. I learned to quote it when I was a kid. I didn't know, wow. You know what that is? That's that spiritual man inside me. Amen. He understands it because he authored it. Amen. He is the Spirit of truth. That's why I said he'll never go contrary to this book. Never, ever, 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 ever. He'll never go contrary to Bible doctrine. Never. Never. He'll never go contrary to Jesus Christ being born of a virgin. He'll never go contrary to blood-bought salvation. These things that we hold sacred, amen, they are the truth. Why? Because he is the Spirit of truth. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're doing good. It's only 8 o'clock. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. It'd help if I'd go the other way. First Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 8. Are y'all there? For to one is given by the Spirit, watch this, the word of what?
Wisdom.
To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Sixthly, somewhere, he is the Spirit of wisdom. Isaiah chapter number 11, verse number 2. Remember, we read it a while ago. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Remember that? He is the Spirit of wisdom. Somebody said, I don't know what to do. You need to trust the Spirit of God to lead you.
Yeah.
Amen. We got too many people listening to Oprah.
Yeah.
Amen. I watched a show the other day by accident and about kicked screen out of TV. It wasn't Oprah, it was The View. Anybody ever seen that? Man, that's straight out of the booger man's living room.
Yeah,
hey, got old Whoopi on there. What's her, Whoopi Goldberg? Man, some wicked women, boy.
Yeah.
Everybody's listening to the wrong places for their advice, amen.
Amen.
Hey, Dr. Phil come up with something good every now and then, but I ain't going to trust Dr. Phil when God gave me a Bible and God gave me a pastor. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. He's the Spirit of wisdom. God knows how to guide you. Nine times out of ten, people who come in my office for counsel. And I taught pastoral counseling just here a few weeks ago. If you remember right, I told you about 90% of counseling is what? Listening. They'll sit across from my desk and yada, 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 yada. And the whole time they're doing it, they're solving their problem. It's just the first time they sat down and done it without screaming. They're embarrassed to do it in front of me, so, you know, they actually talk rationally. They don't even know it, but the Spirit's giving them wisdom right there. They're expecting to get it from me. I'm like, okay, why don't you go do that? Amen. When the husband starts, she this, she that, and she starts, and all of a sudden it changes directions. And the husband said, well, you know, to be honest. And then the wife, no, I know, it's my fault. If you just let the Holy Spirit work, man. You wouldn't spend as much time scratching your head as you do.
Yeah.
Amen. What are we going to do here? What are we going to do? Trust God.
Yeah,
let Him lead you. No, hey, don't let a job lead you.
Come on, man.
Oh, we've had jobs lead people out of here. Oh, we're moving so far away. Well, where are you going to go to church? I don't know. We'll find one when we get there.
Yeah.
Okay. Let us know how that works.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all all right? If he can lead you, he can feed you, can he?
Yeah.
Amen. He's the Spirit of wisdom. How many of you got children? Raise your hand. That's about everybody in here. Let me tell you something you need. Wisdom. The Bible says it's a principal thing, therefore get it.
Yeah.
Amen. Wisdom, man, you need wisdom. You need wisdom. You say, well, I don't hold a position like you do. I don't care. If you're a mama, you need wisdom.
Yeah.
If you're a daddy, you need wisdom. If you're a husband or a wife, you need wisdom.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, wisdom, sir, will tell you when to shut up. Amen. You ever had that little voice inside you go, just hush. Just hush. Just say I'm sorry and go on. Amen. Amen. He is the Spirit of wisdom. And if we'll trust Him and give Him, listen, the Spirit will do all these things in your life. And the things we talked about last week, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, worshiping in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, He'll do all those things. But one thing, there is a prerequisite. He has to have control. God will let you fix your marriage by yourself. In other words, God will let you go on to divorce court. God will let you ruin your children by yourself. God will let you split your church by yourself. God will let you go bankrupt by yourself. I don't know how many financial decisions I've made without Him. Y'all all right? I wonder what kind of financial shape we'd be in if we were really Spirit-led. You ever bought something and knew you shouldn't have when you was leaving with it? Still paying, Brother Atkinson. Amen. I don't care who you are, man. We need wisdom. Yeah. Amen. But we've got to yield this over. Say, okay, God, you're in control. Amen.
Yes, sir.
You ever just did that? You ever just threw your hands up? And God says, that's what I've been waiting on all along.
Yeah.
If you just let me handle this, it wouldn't be in such a mess it's in now. Amen.
Right.
Let me give you one more. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Is this helping you, telling you anything about who the Holy Spirit is? And there's so much misconception about Him today, and He gets accused of all this junk. I felt the Lord laid this on my heart. No, maybe you ate too much pizza last night. I don't know. Be careful. Be careful what you accuse Him of. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 14. He said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of what? The Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and their part, and on their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. And lastly, let me just say tonight, I could tell you a whole lot more about Him, but He's the Spirit of glory. He's the Spirit of glory. Brother Mark Stroud, my buddy, he's the one that preached that revival over in Alabama where 140-something people got saved. And Brother Mark, he always talks about... We have a meeting. We talk about it getting on. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, just people laying in the altar, and I mean, just singing, shouting. They call it we getting in the glory. We got in the glory last night. He says that all the time. I talked to him on the phone. Said, how'd it go last night, brother? He said, boy, we got in the glory. You know what he's saying? The Holy Spirit showed up, man.
Amen.
Amen. He always shows up because He's in us. I like when He shows out.
Yeah.
Amen. And we get to see the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. Let me explain. Sunday morning, Brother Tommy, sitting right over where Jeremy Michelle's at.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Tommy had a fit.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have thought his team just won the Super Bowl and he had $5,000 riding on it.
Yeah.
He got happy. You know what that was? That's the glory.
Amen.
That's the glory. Hey. There was some sowing in tears.
Yes, sir.
Over the sick daughter. But he was reaping in some glory there Sunday morning. If y'all remember right, Brother Tommy didn't do that before she got sick. He said amen. But he didn't come uncorked like that. Amen. Amen. Anyway, I'm done tonight. He is the Spirit of glory. Amen. And I want Him to always feel welcomed here. A little later on, next week or two maybe, we might talk about how we grieve the Spirit. How we, the Bible calls quenching the Spirit. You know, if you build a fire, to put it out, they call it quenching it. That means you're pouring water on it. If we're not careful, we can grieve the Spirit. Constrain Him. Bind Him. And if we're not real careful, we can quench Him. I've been a lot of churches where He's been quenched a long time. Amen. I'm glad He's still burning pretty fresh around here. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.